Sister Florence.
God bless you.
Very much.
Before I go into the word proper, I think I will just have to say a few words. First of all, to give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ, the lover of the bride, and the owner of it. Amen. Without him, we will not be together.
Amen.
And I appreciate Richard Gann, who is the Lord and giving the foresight in this season to be a blessing to us and God's gift. Amen.
Amen.
And it's not been an easy road to travel, but I've always come to know that God is not in the majority thing. If you have to walk with God, you have to sacrifice. You have to lose things to walk with God. And one thing is to stay focused. Be focused. Make sure that you're not swayed by the winds that of life, either from yourself or from outside. And I give thanks to the Lord because we are just a small group of ministers that can see eye to eye and have this respect for what the Lord is doing in this present day.
Amen.
Amen. And I thank the Lord for prophetic revelation, this assembly of believers. We are not an organization. We are called out people, and we know what we are called out for. And I want to encourage us, because we are not so many, so we need to warm ourselves.
Right.
Encourage ourselves. I just love the scripture that Brother Paul read. If anyone is taking in a fault, let us leave the dealing of the fault, the handling of the fault, to the preacher. But let us try to gain our brothers and sisters first. The head is the identity of the body. It is the brain that tells you whether it is pain, bitter, or sweet. It is the brain that helps the tears to come up in the eyes. Everything works in there. So that's why God gave the head gift. It's different from the body gift. So we must love one another, care for one another, and tolerate one another. When they say bear one another's burden, maybe as we are here, maybe most of us will not have any need to ask from your neighbors, but it's to bear one another's indulgence, or excuse them. It's to understand your neighbor and excuse that person. Praise the Lord. Amen. I also want to say that we should pray that people should not be careful with us as believers. It's like I come in to Singapore to visit, and I'm relating with Richard Gann, and I'm being careful so that I don't offend him. You know, I should go upright and offend him. Yes, and he should know how to deal with me. Praise the Lord. So don't be a person whereby they say, "Oh, that sister, no, don't say, don't speak, don't smile at her. She will not be happy. Or that brother, don't shake his hands. He will not be happy if you shake his hands." No. Just let yourself be. We don't own ourselves. And that's why fellowship is important. So, it has been one full week of lots of relaxation. do I call it that? I went to so many homes and was invited, special dinners and lunch, and especially, in fact, to every meal that I was invited to partake, there was a story. When I went to Sister Eunice's place, she took me to India. I was in India, but right here in Singapore. I was privileged to be with Brother Paul and Sister Nancy. And when I got there, I just saw the table. I said, wow, 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 wow. Then I knew that I had to have some talks with them. So I said, no, 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 no. I will eat first before I talk, so that I don't talk, and then when I want to eat, they push me out. So I ate first. And Sister Nancy, you did well. You gave me the biggest bowl. So I was careful. So which bowl is mine? Then she said, this is yours. So, oh, yeah. Big bowl. I said, this is my size. And I took time to enjoy. So these are memorable things. And our brother, yeah, yesterday we were there. And then all the outings. I enjoyed going out with brother. What's my name again? You.
Melvin.
Yeah, Melvin. I had the two outings with Melvin. And of course, my secretary is here. Brother Jonah. Confusing everything for me. But I can't suck him. So all of you have been wonderful, Brother Ifan. God bless you, my dear sister. God bless you all the precious sisters here. And those who went for holidays, you're welcome. Yes. And sisters, God bless you so much. The Lord, my prayer for you is that the Lord keep you strong, and that you will win his soul for the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Your life will become a testimony that somebody will say, let me see, let me ask, who is the God of this fellow? You become written epistles read of all men. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So I thank the Lord today for Brother Paul and Sister Nancy. I'm privileged. Brother Ronnie was saying, he said, He is so happy that he began to see images, and then when he came to service this morning, he saw Brother Paul and Sister Nancy. So I'm very happy also that it was even like yesterday, I just had a chat with Brother Paul. I didn't actually know he was coming today. And I thank the Lord for bringing you here while I'm here. And the kingdom is ours. Martin Luther wrote a song. He said, the gift and the power is ours. So we should just use it.
Amen.
Amen. And the Lord is going to keep Satan away from this fellowship.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There is a wall of fire round about us. A pillar of fire has given us an edge. Amen. Let's not break the edge. May the Lord bless you richly. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Sister Angeline, welcome to fellowship. And Sister Annaline, may the Lord bless you. Stay strong and press on.
Yes.
To be good. Amen. So let me finish the message as we gather up the fragments.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Father, for this time again.
Yes.
We soak ourselves in your presence, Lord.
Amen.
We drink from your river, O Lord, and your stream of life. Father, feed us till you want no more. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. In Joshua chapter 1, it's a statement God made directly. So direct in the first verse. It says here, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, hear what he says. Moses, my servant, is dead.
Amen. Right.
Amen.
Right.
Do you believe it?
Right.
Okay. So, this message, like I said, this assembly is a blessing to the world. Amen.
Amen.
We don't want to speak much, and we don't speak here. We speak in the field. Amen.
Amen.
When I come here, I don't actually preach, because I allow the Lord. You know, God wants to touch, wants to fellowship with His people.
Mm-hmm.
So He directs His words. I don't even know what I'm saying. Most times I preach here, and somebody called me and said, "Brother Nice, why don't you preach the way you preach in the church in Lagos?" I said, "Oh no." I said, "I'm just, when I'm outside the home church, whatever the Lord, God has needs for His people. We have wonderful ministry here, but there are some pieces we need to pick for the people, both in their personal lives, and that's what God wants to touch." So Moses, God's servant, died, and God testified, "Moses, my servant, is dead."
Amen.
So Joshua, come to yourself. Come and accept the fact that Moses, whom you walked behind for many years, is dead. Now, you know, Joshua didn't witness the death of Moses. No one did. There was no handing over ceremony. There was no, in fact, when Moses was speaking the last to the children of Israel, putting his blessings on them, they thought it was the usual thing. He went back to the mountain. Aaron was not there. Aaron had gone 2 years before. The Lord invited Moses to come up. And this time, he did not take Joshua as far as he used to, because he knew that the Lord was going to deal with him. Amen.
Amen.
Joshua was all this while under the influence of Moses. I'm sure seeing Moses with a rod, he too would have desired to have a rod. But you see, God is not a familiar spirit. And He does not want us to have the same. He wants us to be independent. He wants us to be free. For wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So, here was Moses, an elderly man, bearded man, with his rod, with his garment, always going up to the mountain, always fellowshiping with the Lord, and he trained Joshua. Scripture says that Joshua was his minister. So Joshua was not the minister of God, he was the minister of Moses. He was serving Moses, pouring water on his hands, picking things for him. And such men, you know, they stay around these great servants of God that they understand the man so well that if he is making body languages, he's making movements, Joshua really, really knows what Moses wants. Unlike Elijah, who was looking at the mantle, Joshua was just following, believing. He never, I believe, had the intentions of taking over Moses' ministry. Because God don't want people to be ambitious.
Right.
When it comes to spiritual matters, Brother Abraham said many times, he said, "Those that God will call into the ministry are those that are running away from it. You don't submit yourself to it. You don't offer yourself. It is a calling."
Amen.
Amen. It's a calling. It's not something you say, "Oh, now that I'm retired, now that I have nothing to do, now that I..." No. You must be called into it. And you must pay the dues. And you must have a personal interaction with the Lord. You must wait for God to give you a definite statement, a definite direction, a definite voice. This is what I want you to do. There will be confirmations here and there.
So that somebody don't say, oh, like I asked many people, yeah, are you called? No, you see what? I'm not seeing. Amen. If you are called, you are called. If you are not called, then walk behind those that are called and support. So that you don't get injured. So, Moses, my servant, is dead. What next? And he said, now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all thy people, all these people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Now, if Moses, the man who spoke with God face to face, if Moses, the man who stood before Pharaoh and Israel shook, if Moses, the man who brought the magicians of Egypt to their knees, if he didn't cross Jordan, who is Joshua? Who will this Joshua be? What material will he be made of to be able to cross Jordan and divide the inheritance unto God's people? Joshua was very inferior. Yes. He was very inferior compared to Moses. And there was no comparison to be made, because the age actually was the age of Moses' ministry. The age was Moses' age. The age of the Exodus. Redemption. Bringing out. Took them out. But they went round the wilderness. They were not able to get in. And when Moses died, and God did not report to Israel that Moses died, he told one man, Joshua. Amen. Moses was still alive in the minds of the people. Even when Jesus came, they were still referring to Moses as if he was around the mountain. He would come down and hit Jesus to the face, because Jesus was doing things that looked as if it was not straightened with the message of Moses.
Yes.
Because God never came down to confirm to them that Moses died. If he did, where is his grave? If he died, where is his grave? Where is the stone that is raised to every great man that passed this earth? But God told Joshua. And that was a very, very big tax. Moses, my servant, is dead. The first thing is now. Somebody say with me, now.
Oh.
Yes. After the death of Moses, there must be a now.
Yes.
Not yesterday, but now.
Amen.
So, Joshua must be a preacher. Why is he going to be a preacher? He must explain to the people every step he has to take. And we're going to see some of them. One that tends towards the seven thunders also, which I'm going to show you. The first thing, Joshua came standing before the people. Now, if it was by vote, the people of Judah were very strong and very influential. And they knew how to gather people behind them, rally people behind them. They would have chosen Caleb. But you see, of the 2,000 plus that came out of the land of Egypt, it is told us that only two made it to the promised land. And that two is the head and the body. Joshua and Caleb. Then fivefold ministry, which is the ministry of Christ and the bride of Christ.
Amen.
Yes, all of it locked together, make one body. Amen.
Amen.
But this is the two phases that need to show you. The head and the body. There is a head gift, there are body gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us about the body gifts. Gift of faith. What's of knowledge? What's of wisdom? Discernment of the spirits? All of this is so nice, but they are body gifts.
Right.
Amen. So, it is uncalled for when somebody meets a preacher and says, what's your gift? No, it's already a gift. Mm-hmm. The preacher, a God called fire for ministry person, is already a gift. You don't start asking, what is your gift?
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. So, if you go to the forest and you meet a lion that has got a horn, and he has the horn like that of a deer, don't you think it's embarrassing?
So what will other animals do? So he has the claw, he has the teeth, he has the fierceness, the look, and then now has this horn like a deer. Everything has finished. So God would at least give the deer the horn to at least use to defend himself before he dies in the hands of the lion. He balanced, he will create some sort of balance. So Joshua, what happened here? He came and stood before the people, and he was trying to explain to the people that Moses, the servant of God, was dead. The camp was divided. Amen. But some people gave him the benefit of doubt. Why? The voice said, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. Amen. So, I'm going to read that scripture from verse 3. Every place that the sole of thy foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. And as I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. And I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. So, if we bring our carnal reasonings to application here, to apply here, then it will be that Joshua will look like Moses in appearance. Joshua will talk like Moses. Joshua will say everything that Moses has said. Because God said, as I was with Moses. So, we all knew how God was with Moses. We all knew what he did with Moses. Then we should be expecting, if we know Joshua now, to put all the pegs into those holes, whether it will fit or to match. But when Joshua came, he was a disappointment to those who are traditionalists. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
First of all, Joshua had no rod. He had a sword.
Right.
Moses never carried one.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
And observers were saying, he told us that God said, as I was with Moses, so where is the rod of Moses? The rod of Moses was not even transferred to anyone.
Right.
They can't find it.
Right.
For God just called Moses to a meeting. Only God and Moses knew that he was going to die. And God killed him, buried him, and afterwards brought him back. Amen.
Amen.
For the Bible says, Michael, contending with the body of Moses, with Satan, at another time. Amen. No weakness. All this by revelation is spoken. They are spoken by revelation. No weakness. No proof. Where is the rod of Moses? The rod that created flies. The rod that broke the frogs. The rod that turned water to blood. The rod that killed the firstborn. The rod that divided the Red Sea. If Joshua wants to be effective, shouldn't he at least look for the rod? If he wants to be true, as God was with Moses, Joshua needed the rod. But look at it here. The rod was the most important thing in Israel. After Moses, it was the rod. In fact, Moses and the rod were one. And Joshua don't have it. And he wants me to believe that God spoke to him, that he is the one going to divide inheritance. We shall see. Skeptics were there. But you see, With Moses, people could come up with opinions. But with Joshua, it was not possible. He cut him to pieces because he was a man of the sword. Mm-hmm. Amen. He was not patient to negotiate. Praise the Lord. He was not ready to stay 40 years in the wilderness. He knew what he heard. And he did not care whether you believe it or not. He was out to do what God had told him by revelation. Whether he had no gift like Moses. He had not the power that Moses had. But one thing was certain. He was sure that he heard from God. He was sure. So it doesn't matter whether you believe him, whether you accept him, you can go ahead and start reading all that Moses has said, going back and forth with what Moses has said. But Joshua knew that God told him he will divide the inheritance. Wow. Brethren, this is the inheritance.
Amen. The land of the world.
He had to go into the understanding nitty-gritty and bits and pieces and cut them in order and set them for the people so that they can come alive.
Amen.
And they started their journey. Told them no. There were many that walked with Moses and they were not circumcised. Amen.
Amen.
They were there. It was a ministry of tolerance. Ministry of inclusiveness, general acceptance. But the Lord spoke to Moses, to Joshua, we can't go further like this. Circumcise them. And they were past age. He circumcised them in a place called Gilgal. Said to them, today, the reproach of Egypt is removed from you. But brethren, they came out of Egypt 40 years behind. How could they carry the reproach out through? Yes. It's a reproach. That reproach, as I'm talking to us tonight, put your mind to the age that we are living.
Amen.
We are living in a day.
Amen.
We are living in a day. Praise the Lord. Cast your minds on what day we are living on. This particular day that we are living on. And look at, there was a Moses again in this generation. Amen.
Amen.
But is there a singular Joshua? No. There was Elijah in this age that we are living in. Is there a singular Elisha? No. Well, we're going to see the pattern. Praise be the name of the Lord. So he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. And now, therefore, get up, arise, take these people and cross over this Jordan. Now, one of the most important furniture that was in the tabernacle, the mobile tabernacle, because the tabernacle moved with the people. You remember?
Yes.
Okay. There was just one thing in that tabernacle that if it was not there, the tabernacle was not revered, was not feared. It was the Ark of Covenant. Now that Ark of Covenant, the message behind the Ark of Covenant, it extends unto us as we sit here tonight. Amen.
Amen.
It passes a message directly to us because it was a prefiguration of what God was going to do. Everything was given to Moses to tell Aaron. I read it the last time. Maybe not here, but let us look at it in Numbers chapter 7. Numbers chapter 7. Oh, I had a pen myself here and I was asking for another pen. Hallelujah. Okay, in Numbers chapter 7, verse 89. After Moses said, been told by God to put up things, different things, and then they make the Ark of Covenant. He told him how to make it. Then listen to this in verse 89. Are you there now? And when Moses was gone into the tabernacle of the congregation to speak with him here talking about the Lord,
Then he heard the voice of one speaking unto him from off the mercy seat that was upon the ark of testimony from between the two cherubims. And he spake unto him. Listen to what he said to him. The next chapter, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron, and say unto him, when thou lightest the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light over against the candlesticks. Amen.
Amen.
When you light the lamps, he made laid emphasis, the seven lamps shall give light, amen, over against the candlesticks. Now, that was beyond Israel. The two cherubims, the Lord God spoke from the mercy seat in between the two cherubims unto Moses. Moses had his voice from there. Amen. Then, what he said, Aaron, you light what? The lamps. The seven candlesticks. Amen. The seven lamps, just light them, and it will give light over against the seven candlesticks, which points to the picture that Zechariah saw in chapter 4 of Zechariah. Amen. Where he saw the two olive trees standing left and right, and then the seven candlesticks was within, which is the entire program of the Israel and the Gentiles being brought together. That's what Zechariah saw.
Amen.
Amen. Now, please, brethren, I speak to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear this thing, statement I want to make now. There is no minister, there is no man from the beginning of this earth till now, or that will ever be, that is greater than the Lord.
Amen.
That is greater than the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Everyone, whatever they had, received it.
Amen.
It was given to them by the Lord.
Amen.
You can say Paul, you can say Irenaeus. You didn't know much about Irenaeus. You don't know much about Columba. You don't know much about Martin. But you know Luther. You can talk about Luther. You can talk about Wesley. Then in this day, you can talk about William Branham. Amen.
Amen.
But I tell you that William Branham is a part of God's gifts to mankind.
Amen.
You talk about Moses. You talk about Elijah.
Amen.
You talk about Noah. This man wrought great works. But none of them can fit in to be God.
Amen.
Over mankind.
Right. Amen.
But they were gifts, God's gifts to humanity.
Amen.
God's messengers at this different time that they came. Amen.
Amen.
So when God was saying to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead.
Amen.
He's also saying to us today. He's saying to me too today.
Right.
Brother Nice said, listen, Brother Abraham is dead.
Amen.
He's really dead. Believe it.
Amen. Yes.
Because he's a man.
Amen.
Right.
Oh, does that give you headache?
No.
Fever?
No.
Oh, thank you. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. From the Ark of Covenant, it was something that Israel must be careful of. Let's talk about it. Some dangers that posed in the days of Moses. These men came when they went to fight in a particular battle and they were defeated. They came and they cried and said, no, 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 we need to take them back with us. And then they carried the ark by presumption and they went up and they were defeated them all. In the days of Eli, they took this Ark of Covenant. They weren't thinking that maybe if the Ark is there, listen, when your life was not straight, the Ark was just a furniture.
Uh-huh.
So they took it there, and the Philistines dealt a deadly blow on them. And the Philistines captured the ark.
Yes.
But they didn't know the rule. They brought the ark home. Put it before their God. Now, that's the problem. Nothing can stay in front of the Lord. So, Dagon was standing. You know, Dagon was, you know, all the gods of the Gentiles are human beings. Yes. You talk about whatever. It's just one strong man that manifested among them. Then they started making gods. We have that in Africa. God of iron, God of thunder. And he stood there. Dagon stood there and just stood there like a wrestler before the ark. And at night, amen, when everyone has gone to sleep, the Lord slapped him, karated him, broke his knee, broke his arm, and Dagon fell. They came in the morning. The foolish people carried their gods from a fallen position, stood him, and still worshipped him. You see the foolishness?
Yeah.
Amen. And then they said, Dagon, they encouraged Dagon as if it is the first round of the boxing match. Say, be strong, and be courageous. Fight the fight, fight the good fight. And they went home. By the time they came back, Dagon's head was falling off. He was down totally. And Philistines cried. They said, no, we cannot keep this thing. Then they beckoned on Israel to come and get it back. It was not something you could take.
Yeah.
It was not something you could steal. They gave it back. Now, nothing was to be in front of it. There's, take notes. That's the point I want to make. Uh-huh. Nothing must come in front of it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now, there was a time that David, you know, he was so excited and wanted the Lord, the presence of the Lord back in the holy city, Jerusalem. So he went and he said, the ark should come home. Come home, ark, come home.
Amen.
Then they start to sing, make noises, and then someone gave him an idea. He said, no. Let us give the Lord a treat. What is that? Let the priest not carry him. We are living in Singapore, so make modern. Let's give God a little bit of technology. Just put him on a car. And then the bulls will pull him. And then you find two major guys. And they took two men, Ahio and Uzzah. Innocent men who just wanted to serve the Lord. Is it not? They just wanted to serve the Lord. Amen. They just wanted to be the ones to break communion and give to people. They just wanted to lay hands on themselves and make themselves ministers. And they were just there walking. And David was sitting behind. Everybody was celebrating. And he was coming. The procession was going. And the Lord looked at them. And then the ark started to dance. And first of all, he did that, and the other man did, he moved back. They wanted to help. I mean, God should be considered. Then the ark went, and then Uzzah said, no, you can't fall. He put his hand. Whew. Just he touched. This is the same ark. It was number two. This is the same ark that the Philistines carried and nobody died.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same ark that they took to war.
Right.
And they were killed by others. Are you following me?
Yep.
So, do you see that you could not predict the ark?
Mm.
Meaning, you could not predict God.
Mm.
You couldn't say, this is how it's going to work.
Mm.
So now, but Uzzah thought, I mean, he did nothing wrong.
Right.
In the eyes of the people, oh, thank you for doing that, for not allowing it to fall. If nothing happened, as many of us act sometimes and nothing happened, we feel that nothing has happened.
Right.
Amen. You just make a statement, you talk anyhow, and nothing happened. You say, yes, I can talk anyhow. After the other day I spoke, nothing happened. You may not be lucky the next time, but not in this time. We are children of God. He's not against us, but he calls us unto repentance. Who's that touch? And God gave him power. Procession stopped. Amen.
Amen.
Moses, David, the song went off his mind. His hands were weak to play the harp. What has happened?
He said, Uzzah. God has used Uzzah as a preacher.
Stop. So what did they do? What did they do this time? Do you think they led the animals to the house of the man that Obed-Edom? No. They kept stoning the animals to push. They stoned the animals to move. They directed the animals by using something to stone them so that they can move that way, because nobody was ready to die. God killed him. Take note of the ark. Why? This same ark, God spoke to Moses from on top of it. But Moses gave the commandment on how it was to be done, as he saw in the pattern on the mountain. Mere furniture, but touched by the Lord. How much more the human body of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Right.
How much more the heart of a believer, if you have able to stand with the undiluted word of the Lord?
Right.
So, Joshua, going back to Joshua. Jericho was now in view. They came, pitched their tents, and the people of Jericho never gave any thought of John Israel. I mean, what did they have? They had no stones. When I'm talking about stones, I'm not talking about the sling stone. There were these great heavy stones in those days that they would put and throw in a machine. They didn't have it. Israel never had that. They only had a Joshua. They didn't know what Joshua had, but Joshua had a voice.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But there was something Joshua needed to confirm, because Joshua needed to display the voice of the archangel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Moses had the shout. It was the shout that brought them out of Egypt.
Right.
But Joshua was just being sustained by the shout message of Moses all this time. There was no serious challenge. It was still the shout message. But God had spoken to him, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. But Moses, Joshua's ministry had not yet been confirmed. And the first major test was this walled city. It was the first walled city of the Gentiles that Israel must take. And Joshua, it was not a time for fellowship with ideas. He separated himself. Let us read in Joshua chapter 5. He separated himself. He went alone, because this ministry was never understood.
Yeah.
Why was it not understood? It was the present ministry. Even in technology,
right,
when you are testing out things, bringing out new ideas, the people who have done the old will tell you, no, this can't work. If it won't work, why did theirs work? I thank God that we the kind of young people we have today were not the ones who were there before. We will not have aircrafts. We'll just have more phones. Amen. Well, we have some professors here who will build something soon. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let's look at the scripture from verse 13. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come.
Right.
And Joshua fell on his face upon the earth and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Now listen, let us see if it was the same angel that Moses saw. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoes from thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Is it familiar?
Yes.
As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. Mm-hmm. But let us see whether the message will be the same. Whether the message will be, say what Moses said. Mm. Just recite, re-echo what Moses said. Mm. No, listen. You believe and you become what you believe.
Right.
Then you're going to manifest. At the hour of manifestation, it will be different. Because God certainly will do a new thing.
Amen.
There was no water in Jericho to be turned to blood. The people of Jericho were not trapping Israel for their firstborn to die.
Right.
Israel were outside looking for the wall inside of Jericho, looking for the throne of Jericho. So your ministry, when you learn the answer before the question, you make a mess of yourself. The people who are in the entire message today, they learn the answers. And then they don't know the question. Then they say the first question is yes. The second question is no. The third question is I don't understand. Then you understand that? Yes. What is the first answer? Yes. Second answer? No. Third one? I don't understand. Okay. Then he goes for the interview. You're not supposed to be in this interview. Yes. Are you sure? No. You are confused now. Because the first question said, you are not supposed to be in this interview. You are supposed to prove that no, this is my invitation for the interview. But because you heard the answer without knowing what the question will be, you said yes.
Yeah.
Then when you said no again, you confused everything. But that's not what you need. Amen. Stop learning the answers. Wait for the question. For he said, do not think what you will say on that day. The Lord himself will put in your mouth what to say. That applies to everything in our lives.
Yes.
God does not want you to premeditate. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now what did this angel say? Chapter 6. Now Jericho was straightly shut up, because the children of Israel, none went out, none came in. I don't know whether you know that, what it means. Let me explain something there. The other message was, is now shut up. And they're shutting up because of Christ, because they don't want him to come in. Yes. It is easy to behave in such a way that people want to behave, but they don't know that they fulfill the scripture wrongly. They're shutting themselves. I'll give an example. I sent a video across where a Congolese family traveled from Africa all the way from Congo. It should be 36 hours. They go to Europe or anywhere to be, maybe Ethiopia. Then they stop by in Greenwich. Then go to New York or Chicago. Then they will drive to Jeffersonville. To do what? To have Brother Graham wed them from the tip.
Right.
They call it from the tip. I say from the grave.
Mm-hmm.
In Brown's Tabernacle. Now, I know that the man who threw me out of the group, there's a message group, one East African message group. I only wrote something simple. I said, Brethren, you have seen this video and nobody's commenting.
Yes.
I made two things, two statements. I said, number one, Brother Abraham, he put up the crucifix, a cross, and with an image of the Lord Jesus Christ, so to say. I said, he is allowed to do that in his time. I said, but I won't do it because to me, I think it's idolatry. In fact, I said, I know it's idolatry.
Yes.
That's what I wrote.
And you say, what is growth? I said, I know it's idolatry. Then I made mention of this particular wedding. And I sent them the link, the video. They closed the wedding video. Nobody wants to talk about it. And the whole world stood up. Just a few days ago. Thank God that I ate something that made me happy. They would have thrown me into confusion. Brotherness! You are foul-mouthed brother. You will die. This will happen. You call Brother Abraham idolater. I didn't call Brother Abraham idolater. I didn't.
Right.
But I'm saying, I will not do that in my tabernacle today.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And he, Brother Abraham, will be ashamed of me if I do that.
Right. That's true.
I will not put the photographs of Brother Abraham behind the altar. Brother Abraham himself will be ashamed of me if I do that.
Amen.
I'm not saying any prophetic revelation. There's nothing here. But I went there. Where they put it. It was hung there. Overlaying you. And I remember when I preached in the Catholic Church in India, the statues of Mary was behind me as if it was going to fall. And I was always trying to escape so that in case it falls this way. Then I went to preach in this church, and the statue of a ram is like over against me. What is the difference?
Right.
I don't have a problem if it is in Abraham's tabernacle. Because it is the museum for the message. I went there too. I saw things. The ones that I want to see. And I saw people praying by the graveside of Brother Abraham.
Right.
Praying for anointing from the grave.
Mm-hmm.
And when I had that dream, that year, Brother Abraham told me, in a vision, you know, it's a spiritual thing. You know, dreams are spiritual things.
Mm-hmm.
He said, nobody preaches from the grave. It seals and locks me up.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Moses, my servant, is dead. Can you believe it? Do you agree?
Yes.
So, Joshua, now, therefore. But Joshua is not going to speak against Moses. Joshua was not speaking against Moses. Now, let me read to you what Abraham said here. Abraham said some things, which, if I say this exact what Abraham says to this generation, they will use the bullet from their mouth to pierce my skin. Amen. This is what he says. In the message here, he says, as I was with Moses. They are very heavy statements. Because it looks as if trying to get it. Now, he was saying, for Abraham was, actually, let me just make this statement. He was saying that Moses, actually, Moses made some mistakes. Moses made some mistakes. At the end time, you will read that. But Abraham never made mistakes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So if a man will live on earth and not make mistakes, then that man should be God.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yes.
So that's the picture they are trying to paint. They just want you to not to think about him as a man. Now let me read this message. It is in this. It says, and to Joshua, the new commander of the army, after Moses had passed on, seeing that God stayed with him in his mistakes. This program speaking, paragraph 32. He held his commission up. God held the commission of Moses. As I was with Moses, it's 1960, 11th of September, paragraph 32, 33. Then he said here, no matter what Moses done, it was Moses' office that God respected. He was a prophet. He was above all the prophets. He was really more than any prophet they had. when his own sister laughed at him for marrying an Ethiopian girl, he called them together and said, "Don't you fear God?" Said, "If there be any among you who is spiritual or a prophet, I will speak to him in visions and make myself known to him in dreams. But it's not so with Moses. I speak lips to ear with him. Don't you fear God?" So he said, "You hurt him when you do so. God had commissioned Moses. His failures meant nothing. God knew his heart."
Right.
Now take notes. Brother Abraham said, God commissioned Moses. His failures. So Brother Abraham, as a prophet, said that Moses had failures.
Right.
So Moses to Israel, Brother Abraham to the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
Could we compare them?
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
If the message I'm preaching cannot bring you to the day, then you are wasting your time here.
Yes.
Because I'm not preaching Moses. I'm preaching Christ in Moses, that Christ in Abraham, Christ in the bride, Christ in the fivefold ministry. It's a continuous light. Why will God allow his servant to speak this way of Moses? Is to then just to help us understand that man is man, God is God.
Amen.
That's right. Since we are in the kingdom of where Moses can never make a mistake, in the kingdom where Abraham can never make a mistake, then we come to this place hoping that nobody will make mistakes. God deliberately allows certain things to happen. For example, in the church back home, I come to the pulpit like this and I will appreciate people, and probably a particular sister, I forgot to appreciate her. But not knowing that the Lord was testing this sister. Then one day, she got some problems, and then she started hearing voices, nobody wants to know you, you're not recognized in the fellowship, and so it's no matter for you to be there, just to solve your problems yourself and things. And that was the day she had it in her heart, talking like this, and I came to the pulpit, and the first person that just came into my heart was that sister. And I appreciated her, I said, "Let the church stand up, we want to pray for her." And she started to cry. She said, "But wow, good thing, why are you crying?" Then she confessed. This is what happened. The devil was telling me last night, and I said, "Okay, after today, I just know I'm on my own." It was a test.
Right.
If you have your Bible, search machine. Find for me where the Lord said, "Thank you, my servant, thank you." Can you find it?
No.
Don't even try. Okay. But maybe you can find this one. And the Lord said to her, "My sister, sorry." These two words, you can't find them. Thank you, sorry, nothing. God doesn't say sorry.
Yes.
Even when somebody dies, you still come back and thank him. You've been wounded. He's wounded. He bruised you and you tell him, "Lord, I thank you for everything. Thank you. Even thank you for the successful funeral. But you were the one that you got the bruise."
Right.
And he never said, "Oh, I know you lost someone, sorry." That's for us to say. He doesn't say it. But there is a song I'm going to sing now before I continue this message. He is watching over you. He is aware of the trials you're passing through. He knows, he sees, he feels what you feel. He is the one who cares for you. He knows, he sees, He feels what you feel. He is the one who cares for you. He knows. He knows. He sees. He sees. He feels. He feels. He knows. He sees. He feels what you feel. He is the one who cares for you. He knows what you go through. He knows what you are feeling. He knows where it is hurting. But God never comes to say sorry. You lost somebody today. That is not an excuse that you cannot lose another one tomorrow. But when you cry to him, he says, Lord, if you know, what are you doing about it?
My son, I love you. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Lord, it is painful. It's hurting. I know.
Lord, nobody cares about me.
I know.
Lord, I'm alone.
I know.
Lord, I can't bear it.
That one is a lie. You can bear it.
Right.
Because I've enabled you.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
He knows. He sees. He feels what you feel. Amen.
Amen.
As we continue. Welcome, Brother James. The Bible tells us, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. Just as I'm reading. You know, if God put in the mouth of Brother Abraham to speak the way he has just spoken, as we just finished reading, he said, God was looking at the commission of Moses. The commission. He said, but the one who will rise up to speak against his, what will I call those side talks, those sideline things, that one will have a problem. God was not looking at the things around, he was looking at the commission. Then he concluded, he said, you hurt him when you do so. God had commissioned Moses. His failures meant nothing. God knew his heart.
Right.
Amen. So, after a while, he called Joshua. So Joshua, Moses, that one that you put all your attention on is dead. You keep waiting, the mountain is going to come down. He's not coming down. He's dead. Go back to the children of Israel and tell them this. He told no one. Tell them, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Oh my. Some people will say to Moses, Joshua, no. God should tell us that. And not you. But he must, God must respect the pattern.
Right.
God never told the children of Israel that I'm sending you Moses. Never.
Never.
He met Moses in another land, commissioned him, sent him. So when you go in the way, there's a sign you're going to meet. Aaron, your brother, is coming to meet you. And it was so. And they went to the elders of the people, and Moses declared the word of God and the signs that he was given. But with Joshua, listen, when Moses was declaring to the elders, he declared the word, he declared the signs. What about Joshua? He told them what God told him. The word. No sign.
Right.
The sign time has passed.
Right.
Amen. Amen. There are many who wish, I wish Brother Bram was here. And Brother Bram also will wish them to be here. with what is going to happen. Amen. So a little headache, Google Ram, I've got a headache. There will be no faith. And it was not all the cases that came to Google Ram that God healed.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's how God works. He's sovereign. Remember the crippled girl in the house of Sister Hetty? If she had mentioned about her disease, the sister would have walked. But God already put in the heart of that woman what He wanted her to ask. That's why God puts the prayers in you to speak. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Because He knows what He wants to do that will glorify His name in His perfect will. Hallelujah. Yeah. He knows. So here Joshua, standing by Jericho, this captain of the great host came. Joshua bowed down. Now, I say you should mark the word. He said, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. Then he spoke to Joshua and said exactly the same thing he said to Moses. Now he said, take off thy shoes. Put on thy sandals, for this place you stand is a holy ground. Now I want to ask you, was town of Jericho a holy ground? And Mount Moriah, the Mount of Herod there was a holy ground? Which is the holy ground? It was not about the ground. It was the presence of the Lord. That when the Lord stands in a place, that place is holy. Right. It's not about the ground. Because Jericho was far away from Horeb.
Right.
Yep.
And as we were told, do you see where familiar spirit comes in?
Mm-hmm.
We are going pilgrimage today in America. The same America, but Rob said that. There is cost because they rejected the word of God.
Right.
We're going there. We are falling back there. Like I explained, it's pathetic,
right.
Especially for my African brothers. Yes, many of the third world, they go there to be wedded by the tapes of Brother Abraham. What a pathetic story! Praise the Lord. They go there. Like I showed that video to be wedded, and when I just made a comment, why are you attacking the voice of the prophet? No, brother, don't speak like that. What is attack in this? It's not about Brother Abraham, it's about you.
Right.
Your attitude towards what God has done. That's why in the days of Hezekiah, the rod that what is that rod? The rod of the brazen serpent that God commanded Moses to make.
Right.
That when the serpent bites them, they should look at.
Right.
When his guy came, idolatry had swung in so much, he broke it and burned it.
Right.
I expected fire to consume him. No.
No.
God is in his word.
Right.
And alive in it.
Amen.
And does not want any form of darkness, any form of idolatry. No, please, brethren. A paper is printed by a man. And this brother came to the assembly where I preach. And he gave a testimony. And, well, you see, that it worked does not mean it is right.
Mm-hmm.
Balaam did not have the pillar of fire with him.
Right.
But he was a gifted man that he could see the trance and say things.
Right.
And what he was doing was working.
Right.
But that was not correct for you to say that it is true.
That's right.
Moses spoke to the rock, or he beat the rock the first time. Water came out. But the second time God said, speak to the rock. Beware of the instruction of God. Speak to the rock. But a familiar spirit came in. And Moses hit the rock.
Yes, sir.
But notice, water came out.
Yes.
The onlookers were waiting for water. They didn't know the communication between Moses and God.
Mm-hmm.
So they saw the water, they drank. Wow! And they said, Moses, we sent it down, and man of God. But was God happy? That was what ended Moses' journey. Moses, come upstairs. Let's meet. Come on the rock, the mountain. And that was it. But we drank water and didn't know what Moses went through.
That's right.
That it worked does not mean it is correct. So he said, just then, because I believe, amen, you don't judge a man until you hear from him. So he said, all of you must have a printed copy or photograph of the pillar of the cloud in your mind. Okay? So whenever anybody is sick, you raise the pillar, the cloud, lay your hand and pray. Touch the person. Even my little daughter, 9 years old, will not want to do it. I think she knows better.
Yes.
That it works for you does not mean it is correct.
Right.
You have to baptize with the image. There's this cloud is the sign in this generation. So they put it on the chest. Baptize in the water and come out. That's only when your Holy Ghost is confirmed. Please check the internet to see what I'm saying.
Yes.
They are there. Maybe it's not happening in Singapore. Pray it shouldn't happen. But we have enough of it in Africa. If you want, we can serve for you. It's there. And the one that breaks the camera's back that made me comment on that was this wedding. I have nothing against any man. But I want to tell you, and I want you to stick to this. I've come here, I've been reading from these sermon books, as we have here. Amen. But I read the prophet's message as it is to you, just to confirm for the sake of those who say that no, they want a proof from this. So I sent somebody some quotes on the Godhead. I sent him the first quote. Brother Bram said, Jesus at birth was not Emmanuel. He was not God with us. I sent that quote up. I sent other quotes. I sent about four. And the minister looked at me and said, this is so confusing. I need more light. Then I asked him, when you ask for more light, where do we go? Because these are quotes.
Right.
Amen. Amen. I think when you ask for more light is because this should illuminate the scripture for you. Mm-hmm. Amen. You read the sermon books and it should help you, take you back to illuminate the scripture, to make you understand the scripture better.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Because God gave his word to his servants. And when he preached from the Bible, what we are reading from the sermon book is from the Bible. He preached from the Bible. So he kind of re-enlightened the sacred scriptures. Mm-hmm. So that now when you now read, after you have had an understanding of what he's saying, the true, unbiased understanding, then you can understand scriptures. Mm-hmm. But to say that we don't need scriptures is demonic.
Right.
Amen.
It's a demonic spirit that is working.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, that wedding issue, Brother Joseph Graham, he said, now we turn the service to our pastor. I will not accept that.
That's right.
Because God is going to hold it against me on the day of judgment.
Correct.
Because I have two dreams to confirm. And I don't need to use my dream to tell you anything.
Right.
I have the Bible is enough for me.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So now we turn the service over to our pastor, Brother William Maran Brown, and the present tape. And Brother Brown, maybe a wedding that was conducted in 1953 or 1956 somewhere, and this couple just walked up. And then, as Brother Brown was speaking in the medicine, they were taking vows. That is idolatry. It is not the word of God. Amen.
Right.
It is not the word of God. Jesus said, I have many things I would have told you, but you cannot bear them now.
Right.
So Jesus, if you don't speak it, who will speak it? He said, but when he, the Spirit of truth, is coming, you have to believe that the Holy Ghost is in your heart.
Yes.
It helps you to hear. It helps you to live. It helps you to follow. It helps you to interact, even with unbelievers. Even as you are, if you deal wrongly with an unbeliever, the Lord is going to raise his eyebrow against you. The Lord wants us to be living epistles. Living epistles. How can we be living epistles?
Right.
If we don't live in the now.
Right.
So going back to the message, we're showing something. God said to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead.
Mm.
Now therefore arise. Mm. And the next thing, Joshua was led up to Jericho. He was in a state of confusion. Sizing the wall up. The people of Jericho never cared about him because what can bring down that wall? Israel did not have it. Israel knew that they didn't have it. So he sized the wall. Sized the wall. And as he was turning around it, here appeared the angel. Because what he needed, the angel had to bring, give him the voice. There was a voice. Because they got a shout and they came out of Egypt. And they wander with the shout there. And that's to be complete. God is perfected in threes.
Right.
So there has to be the voice that comes out. Like I said in the morning, when John the Baptist came, he was shouting and pointing for the Messiah to appear.
Amen.
The Messiah came, involved in the program, and called, and the Holy Ghost came. And the Holy Ghost, which is the spirit of the same Messiah, amen, is to seal us unto the day of redemption. I read some of those quotes there to buttress it. Praise the Lord. Now, Joshua standing here right now, he signs this mount, this wall. And then the angel came and told him, this place where you stand up is the holy ground, pull off your shoes. Exactly what he said to Moses. Now, what was in that fire that Moses saw? It was the body of the angel. Of course. They are flaming torches. They are fire. The angel of the Lord. But God is not an angel. But the Lord spoke to an angel. Yes.
Right.
Amen. So, when this was done, he told Joshua, you are going to put seven men with horns ram in front of the ark. No. That has never been done. Moses never said that. Moses never said that. They will tear Joshua to pieces. I have shown you examples. Every time that the ark was wrongly handled, people died. Uzzah. The Philistines. Those who went to fight against the Malachites. In the days of Moses, they took this ark presumptuously and went to fight, presuming that the Lord was with them. Now, Joshua, are we to read? Let's read, please. I'm going to leave you soon. Joshua chapter 6. Let me read from verse 1. And now Jericho was straightly shut up, because the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thy hand Jericho and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all men of war, go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horn. And the seventh day ye shall compass the city seven times, and the priest shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Hallelujah. Wow. We are having something here to deal with. Amen?
Yeah.
We are having something here to deal with. Joshua I said that Joshua was a preacher. A fighter and a preacher. Why was he a fighter and a preacher? Moses was not a preacher. Amen? Praise the Lord. Because the people saw the sign. They didn't need to hear so much. They needed signs. But Joshua had to preach because he had no signs to show so much like Moses. But he had received a voice, but he had no witness. Amen. He had nobody to tell them that I was there when Joshua was shaking. I didn't know what he was hearing, like Paul. No. Joshua was alone. And then he came down Commander, what is the news? What are we going to, what strategy do you think? Because he went to Jericho to think. He went to face the problem to think. And he came back. And the Lord, he had met the angel, and the angel has given him his voice. It was the voice of the archangel. It was the second phase of the rapture that we are talking about.
Right.
It was the ministry of Christ to his bride. Direct intimacy. And then he came down to the people of Israel and he said to them, we shall begin tomorrow. What? You got supplies of guns, aircraft, bombers, launchers, missile launchers? Nothing. Said, the priest will bear the ark as usual, but there shall be a different formula. Seven men, priests, shall be in front of the ark this time. They are not going to carry metallic horns. They will have round horns. I could hear somebody say, Moses didn't say that way. You are trying to change what Moses has said. And God told you that as he was with Moses, so he shall be with you. Number one, you came here fooling us. Moses had a rod, you had no rod. Moses divided a sea, you can't break a mountain.
Always.
It's very difficult to accept what God is doing now.
All
right. You say, oh, he must have changed something, you know. Look at it. We have roamed the wilderness for 40 years. Keep going on.
Keep going on.
Where are we going around to? The prophets say, the message say, we argue over what he said and what he did not say. There is no sign in our life. There's not been changes. We are not even moving forward.
Right.
For many years, many of us have not moved. So, you are the last believer. When you believe, the message died.
Right.
Why did he die? You say, oh, somebody. No, the message died in you. Check it.
Mm-hmm.
If I believe the way you believe, I will not have souls in some Syria, from Lebanon. Will not go far into Karamoja and break into lands and trek 6 days, 6 days, 6 days without water. 6 nights without water. Learn to sustain. Will not survive that. Because we just say, we just go around the mountain and say, you know the prophet said, yes, and he said. Round the mountain, exactly what the people of Israel were doing. But there is a Joshua ministry. Jesus walked with Peter. He never mentioned the word evangelist to Peter. John never knew the word evangelist. But when he raised a man servant in Paul was born out of Judaism. He was not even there. He did not even know the conducts and how things should be. He had to go to the desert of Arabia to understand the Old Testament, which he had fought for wrongly.
Right.
And when he came, he had two groups to deal with. He had two groups to deal with. One, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who held the law. Now, he was not even saying what the apostles were saying. Talk to me. Was Paul saying what the apostles were saying?
Right.
They were calling him for conferences here and there. Don't eat blood. Don't eat this. Don't do this. Don't do that. Do's and don'ts. And he came, he broke all those and said, nonsense. But they had rights because they were with Jesus. They were witnesses of his resurrection. He was not.
Right.
But he was the witness of the power of his resurrection. Right. Not of his resurrection. My brothers and sisters, Joshua, how does he pass this message? That seven men will be in front of the ark. It never happened in Israel. Nothing can go to the ark. I have read to you from Numbers chapter 7 verse 89 and Numbers chapter 8 verse 1 to 2 that God spoke to Moses from on top of the mercy seat in between the two cherubims.
Right.
The voice must come from the ark. How come that people will stay in front of the ark? Because what is about to be sounded, it pleased the Lord not to put it within the ark.
Mm-hmm.
I heard I was about to write. Was that the only place that the thunders is talked about? Paul said, I knew a man about 14 years, whether in flesh or out of flesh, I cannot tell. But one such a one that was caught up to the third heaven and heard unspeakable things which are lawful for any man to utter. Does it make a sense to you? What was that thing that he heard that is unlawful for any man to utter? It was an utterance. But it was unlawful for any man to utter. But it will come in time that seven men will be placed in presence of the ark, before the ark, to run ahead of the ark. When that time comes, Abraham made a statement. Amen. I was discussing with a brother, and as we talked, checking the scriptures back and forth, and he said, Brother Nice, the only thing that you say that the thunders will be seven men. Now the things about this is that people confuse the issues. We have the thunders, we have the voices of the thunders. Which revelation are you looking for? Is it the thunders or the voices of the thunders? The thunders are different from their voices.
Right.
It is the thunders that uttered voices. So their voices are what is being concealed. But listen to me, the thunders had already spoken.
Right.
Amen. And the seventh seal was already opened. It's not going to be opened. It has been opened already. John heard everything,
right,
but no one knows. Brother Graham said, I heard an unknown tongue, I cannot figure it out. Now don't force it into his mouth to say, oh, they are there, they are there. They are not there anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
He has told us, I heard in unknown tongues, I'm not able to figure it out. So I was in a meeting, and this guy came, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, for this evening. I just thank you for the seven thunders revelation that you gave to me. And right after the service, I went to say, sister, what a day. What a day. You can wag your tongue and talk anyhow. And because of your American friends,
mm-hmm,
yes, your Canadian friends, talk anyhow. But I want to tell you that God has forsaken that land. Missionaries cannot come from America to Africa. It's not possible. They have no place. We go there. We have something to tell them. They have nothing to tell us.
Right.
They have money to try around. I went to Lebanon. We met people. Oh, brother, I heard that you know this book. Yes, he says these are the books of Brother Brown. Yes. You go. Oh, who gave them to you? Oh, there's a minister from Canada. Oh, you were baptized? Yes, I was baptized. So why are you not fellowshipping with us? Why not continuing the faith? Oh yeah, he promised us money every month. He paid us only 4 months and couldn't pay us, so we couldn't come. So you didn't believe? Oh, believe what? I don't believe anything. I went back to my church. More than 30 people. More than 30. Minister met me in Canada. I mean in Uganda. He's from the U.S. Oh, Brother Nice, I heard that you're working in the Middle East. I said, yes. Do you know this minister from America? Who is also working in the Middle East? I said, does he know me? If he doesn't know me, then he's not working in the Middle East. Because I work in the grassroots. We are there.
Yes.
We are crossing borders from Lebanon to Syria, from everywhere. We are there, risking our lives. One time I took my wife, I said, come, you will enjoy it. And she came with me. All she was hearing was boom, boom, for days. And she told me, please, when you want to die, die alone so that I can take care of the children. We are there, that's how we live. Pay attention, that's why he's doing, Brother Pierre, he's doing a great job.
Right.
And the help of Sister Bree and all the wonderful people there, risking their lives, they don't want to run away, they're standing there meeting Brother Pierre. I begged him, I said, Brother, you must be careful. He talked to the Iraqis, he talked to Iranians, and he will beat them, he will talk to them and push and push and push and bring the message to them.
Right.
And yet, voice of God don't know him. We are doing the translation, but they are giving money to other people. We don't care.
Yeah.
We don't care. Then I went to Uganda, Congo. This big minister is having a diamond field here. This other minister. Oh, you are having all these diamond fields. You are talking about rapture. You are a hypocrite.
Right.
Sure. Diamond fields. We will all stand before the Lord. And when that time comes, we will know who was God's servant on earth. It will be too late at that time. It will be too late. Seven men. As we discussed with my brother, I said, brother, the brother said, oh, Brother Nice, you mean you don't know this brother from America? He's working among the Iranians and things. I said, well, brother, if he's working from a five-star hotel, I can't know him. But if he's working among the people, I will know him.
Right.
There are people who work on the internet and a five-star hotel and come to natives and pay them money and say, we'll give you monthly salaries.
Yeah.
Just use the Brother Brown's brochure, stand like this, and let's have a photograph and put on the internet. If you truly work in the Middle East, you will not want to have a photograph on the internet. We don't have any photograph there.
Yes.
Because if you do, remember?
Right.
Just last year, this year, they were arrested.
Right.
Arrested Pierre, arrested his son. All of us scrambled, we ran away. Myself, I was at the Moroccan embassy. Immediately, I put on my passport. They started questioning. I quickly removed it and ran away because they would catch me up. And people are making photographs on the internet. For a ministry to destroy people's life. You don't do that.
Yes.
You don't do that. But I'm going to read something. Recognizing your day and your message. And its message. 33. Now, I didn't read this quote. I was talking with a brother a few days ago. And he said to me, Brother Nice, the only thing I have against you is this about this seven thunders issue. How that you believe that seven men will bring the revelation of the seven thunders. I said, brother, it is easy. If seven men won't bring it, then seven animals will do. Maybe seven cats and seven dogs. Or if not, then trees. God does not preach redemption through angels. God does not preach redemption through animals. God does not preach redemption through mountains or rocks or nature. He must use a man or men. And if you have to look at the pattern, you look at Revelation chapter 5 verse 4. Chapter 5 verse 6 rather. Where he talked about how the seven spirits of God were sent forth into all the earth. So that's about when I finish reading this and read the quotes, we conclude and then we pray. And Revelation 5 and verse 6. Verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Now, believers, please listen. Seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. These seven spirits of God came and raised seven messengers. Seven spirits of God ignited the seven candlesticks, the seven churches, as we have read from from Numbers chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, 3. For he said to Moses, tell Aaron to light up the candlesticks. It's going to give light to all the seven candlesticks without shattering it. Now, then he said, seven. You understand that God, these seven spirits, did not actually walk with the Jews. Amen. But it worked more with the Gentiles. And as you can see, if you look at chapter 1 of Revelation, verse 4, let's look at the greetings so that you can get the pattern. Look at the greetings. In verse 4, it said, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Are you catching it? So now, these seven spirits, they are the ones by which the Lord walks. Amen. To wrap up, he has said it from the beginning of the greetings to the church, to the seven churches, that these greetings came from the seven spirits. Amen. And seven church ages, seven stars, seven candlesticks, seven bride, seven seals, seven thunders, seven trumpets, seven vials. All just like that in a series, in a line. Now, if the seven churches are made of human beings. And none of our cats has eternal life with us. Yes. Amen. If the church is made up of humans and the stars are humans. Now, when it came to stars, he started to argue and say, oh, those stars are stars. They are stars in heaven. They are just shining stars. Shining one time in the year. Like that, like the eclipse that comes once in a long time. Once in 7,000 years. Or once in 1,000 years. We don't argue that. And the stars, oh, the stars now believe. Because it has been preached. Brother, it has been preached. That's why you believe it. That does not make you a believer. To believe what has passed does not make you a believer. The Jews were with Jesus. For every statement he made, they compared with what Moses said. And you were not happy when you were reading it. But what are you doing today?
Right.
Amen. Then the seals was broken by a minister, by a man. The seals broken unto John, revealed unto Brother Abraham. A human ministry. And then it will come down, it will come down to the thunders. Now in the seventh seal lies the seven thunders.
Right.
In that seventh seal lies the seven thunders. In the seventh seal lies the seven thunders. And these thunders, I told you, uttered their voices. So the seal is actually like this, and the thunders are in. So the seal is covering the thunders. So there are two things to open. You open the seal first, which has been opened in the days of John. Then you reveal this. But when it came there, Abraham said, I heard in unknown tongues and I can't figure it out. So this is suspended. Until, because it is not something to be preached, it's something to manifest.
Right. Uh-huh.
The thunders are the manifestation of all the revelation that Abraham has given to us. So the thunders are the manifestation of this. A short, quick walk. Believe it. A short, quick walk. The bride's ministry. That's what closes up. And the fragments, the pieces are in scriptures. Joshua. So that day, Joshua came and told Israel. And then he gave seven ram horns to these seven priests. And they stood, maybe at the beginning, they stood shaking in front of the ark, because no one can lead the ark. But they stood there. But Joshua said, I was sure it was them. I met the angel of the Lord. And the same way he spoke to Moses, take off thy sandals, he said the same to me. And he said, this is what must happen. And like I say, manifestation is the interpretation. So they stood there, seven. They went round the first day. They were quiet. They went round the second day. Third day, quiet. Fourth, fifth, sixth day, quiet. On the seventh day, they went round seven times.
Right.
And after the seven times, the seventh time, for the first time, those seven blew.
Mm-hmm.
Now, ram's horn was not popular. They blew. When they did that, the people re-echoed. And history. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
History came from behind and attacked Jericho. The wall of Jericho immediately became history. If you never looked at it yesterday very well, you couldn't see it again. It crumbled.
Right.
Now, in the quote I read for you in the morning, Brother Brown was talking about that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said the same light. It's such a light we wait for that will grant us this, that will bring the gospel light, that will bring the faith for the rapture, which is called rapturing faith. Now let me tell you one of few things. Brethren, as I close, the whole earth, God created us by one blood.
But there are some fathers and mothers who cannot transfuse blood to their children. They say, oh, it's the same blood, it's not the same type. Or, I don't know how they say it. Either it's the same type, it's not the same, or whatever. If the serpent and if the mixed marriage never took place in the antediluvian world before the flood, that could not have been among us today. Now, we will preach this scripture until the day of redemption. When the day of redemption comes, this Bible is going to drop down, because the word of God is fully seated in your body, and the rapturing faith transforms you. A new body comes. We have a body that is not run by blood, because flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Then how, what will run the body? That same word that we have lived with will run in our veins.
Right.
So DNA collapses. And once that takes place, the message of Abraham, which says the statue of the perfect man, hallelujah, will come to play. That pyramid, each of us are that pyramid, and the whole of us make the full pyramid. Yes. Each of us represents that pyramid, and the whole of us, the whole of us, when I say the whole of us, I'm talking about from the time ministry of Paul to that of William Graham down to the, it forms the full pyramid. And there will be no shadow of turning, no shadow, no darkness will proceed out from the bride. And naturally, Brother Melvin, naturally, yes. You see, we ourselves will not cast shadows. There will be no darkness with us. Because each of us will be that pyramid. When the sunlight, as when the pyramid was finished, when the sun strikes it, then no matter the hour of the day, it had no shadow, because it was perfect word. It was a word pyramid. It was perfect stones. Not the material, but the spirit behind it. The same thing takes place when we fully come into the day of redemption, when we, our bodies are redeemed. Once this body is redeemed, the shadow of death disappears. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Shadow of death disappears. It will never be able to be destroyed. And then finally we will be caught up with the Lord to meet with him in the air. Not alone, with those that have slept or has also woken up, they also will receive a change. And together we'll be with the Lord till the end. No one fed on the manna of yesterday.
Amen.
Freshly killed.
Amen.
Freshly killed.
Amen.
I stay close. I'm appointed to the voice of the prophets. Yes. I know it. So when people act anyhow, I know that they are deceiving themselves. Because they go about saying what the prophet never said. They go about meaning what he never meant. Amen. That's the light that shone for us. Amen. But the light was asking us to look forward to meet the bride. I mean the bridegroom. To meet one on one. Have that close, intimate, undivided fellowship. Unhindered fellowship with Christ. What is that fellowship? It's until we have such a fellowship, we cannot produce the power. Glory be to his name.
Amen.
Yes. So those who still have photographs everywhere in the tabernacle and point their hands accusing the Catholics are hypocrites.
Right.
That's true. Amen.
Amen.
So I was saying that in the US. So, brother, remove this. Put them in your office. You can put them in anywhere. Because the heart of man is deceitful.
Right.
Let us pray. And the pastor turns and stands like this. And you, even if he turns, even if he's turning sincerely without facing the image, or he's facing the image unknowingly, or he just wanted to turn, what will I think? Would I not think? Will my little daughter not think? No, Dad, he's turning facing the image. So we need an image to turn and face to.
Right.
Something happened between me and that my daughter. God can speak to you through anyone. Be careful. So I came from Congo one time, and I brought this Hoffman photograph, this Hoffman image of Christ, and I put it somewhere in the living room. And I was just, it was downstairs, just down. I just kept it on the, and standing on the floor like this. Just I didn't hang it yet. I just put it on the floor, just facing. And I was just studying the scripture, and my little girl came. She was about 2 years old. 2 years or three years. Then I just played with her. I said, "Whose photograph is that?" Okay, she first of all touched, said, "Dad, who is this?" Touching another photograph, it was the photograph of my father and my wedding photographs with my mom, and I was telling her. Then she now looked at that one, she didn't say anything. And I said, "Who is that?" She looked at it. I said, "That's Jesus." My daughter said, "No." She pointed to my brother and said, "This is Jesus."
Amen. Right.
Amen. Then I was trying to explain to her. I didn't know how to come down to explain to her, okay, that somebody drew, that's a lot of stories. She has already told me, either I say it is Jesus, and then she takes that in her mind that is Jesus, or I allow her to say that this is Jesus, the Word of God.
Yes.
So, I rather want her to say, this is Jesus, the Word of God, so I get quiet. Now, when she grew up, I was sharing this story on the pulpit. When we got home, she asked me. Then she asked me, next question was that, "Dad, if I offend you that time, I didn't know, but that photograph, Jesus, did he drew it himself?" I said, "No." He said, "Who drew it?" I said, "Hoffman." He said, "Was he a preacher?" I said, "No." "What was he?" I said, I remembered and I kept quiet. I just, but do you know who Hoffman was? But listen, what did Brother Abraham say concerning the photograph? He said, "This looks..." He said, "This is the closest."
Yes.
That's what he said. Now, if he says many things, take the one to her. He said, "This is the closest that looks like the one that appears to me. This is the closest." He didn't say that was it.
That's right.
Listen, I don't blame us. We were Gentiles carrying about with dumb idols.
Right.
So if we are forced, if we are doing human service, and I wouldn't be surprised if we start in the next century, start sacrificing human beings. It is our portion as Gentiles. But my prayer is that God will give us the heart to take the message back to the Bible,
right,
and win souls for the kingdom.
Amen.
Don't make me be the last believer, and don't be the last believer.
Amen.
May the Lord bless you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
I'd like to pray. Heavenly Father,
glory.
Thank you for this time. It is in your hands that I commit this fellowship and the body of believers that are here and the elders that have come in from different assemblies. I pray that may your mighty hand of peace rest upon them. We live in a time where we all know what is good and we all know what is correct. But Lord, you are not a familiar spirit. If there be something you want us to know, kindly humble our hearts and help us to submit. Oh dear Father, I pray for them. They have made sacrifices. They have spent time. They have waited. Some of them have gone out of the way to do things that they ought not to do at this time. Oh, may you bless them. May you, oh Lord, release your peace upon them. There are many that are going through trials. I even remember right now, Lord, Brother James Nyer, who came in right now, I heard of his trials, oh Lord. I pray that you, Lord, send help from the sanctuary. Because you are a loving Father. You know, you feel, you see what he's going through. And if there be others that are going through some terrible experiences, they've lost loved ones, they have been beaten and battered and broken, you are the molder, you are the potter. May you mold them and may you strengthen them. I pray for healing. I pray for strength. I pray, Lord, that their spiritual, Lord, life, Lord, will bounce back, and there will be the written epistles that can be read by all men that you want them to be, and they will win souls to your kingdom, and they will not be the last believers. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. May the Lord bless you. Thank you very much for tolerating me. But I know that I'm very cheap to manage.
Oh.
Yes. And Sister Joyce, God bless you richly. For all the torments you gave to me, I forgive you. Sending me everywhere to arrange my bags. Thank you very much. And Brother Henry, God bless you richly for all your blessings and the love. Brother Ronnie, God bless you. Brother James Veramu, James Dyer, God bless you richly. And to Brother Paul, Sister Nancy, Sister Lucy, all of you, may the Lord bless you richly. And officer, take care. Shalom to you. Shalom, shalom. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I was sitting there listening to the message. I'm just, you know, going back to hearing what the Lord gave all these years to us. If you ever know Joshua's ministry, that if you have followed up my ministry all this year, you will know how the Lord unfolded all this ministry. Now, you know that Moses, now he has a rod. Why did not Joshua have a rod? Because the rod, brother, is like a shepherd, leading the children of Israel with God's sheep out of Egypt. Right?
Amen.
And he's to go into the promised land. But because of what Moses did, in striking the rod himself, speaking it, he's forbidden. So don't think that minister of God have it easy. One mistake, they're in trouble.
Yes.
All right, brother.
Yes.
The devil.
Yeah,
and so, now, then God told Joshua, Moses is dead. Now, all right. Joshua do not have a rod. He had a sword. What is it all about now? Think about the types, because I am a typologist. And I love Broadband when I first came up, how he interpreted the Bible through typology. Okay, now, the leading the ship out of bondage is over. Okay, Joshua is a ministry that takes the children of Israel over into the promised land. Remember these types and shadow will never fail. Joshua is not a one-man ministry. Because why? There was somebody that agreed with him, and that is Caleb. And in the name Caleb, I already told you in Hebrew, it means, yep, like a puppy, a dog, who is always agree with the master. Let's go for a walk. Yep. That's what the meaning of that word is. So that's why these two men were able to bring the children across through the leadership of Joshua. Amen. Now the sword, no more the stealth. Okay, no more leading you. Now, God has reached us out of bondage, out of denominationalism. Okay? He's no longer leading you anyway. Now, the next thing is, as God told Moses to take the children out of Egypt, supposed to bring them up to the promised land. Now, Joshua took over with the sword, because you enter into territory that many of the children never been in. They could have spied out the land, spied the sick. And many of us, many Christians out there, never do any exploit. Have never been into the territory of this book. I'm telling you this, even though it's in the message, never been actually going to this. Do you think, you know, you understand what I'm saying? So you need the sword to do an exploit. What if Jesus said, I came not to send peace, but what?
A sword.
To divide the father from the son, daughters from the mother. Joshua went in with the sword, conquered the land, right? And after that, what happened? He sat down, he divided the land. The fivefold ministry take the children of God into this wood and divide the world. Moses is dead. Brother Branham is dead. We are in the fivefold ministry. And that's why for many people it's very hard to see. We enter into this word of God to divide the word. Do you get it? There is a leadership in the ministry. The fivefold ministry. And I said this, if the church begins with the apostolic ministry, with the foundation, and brought them saw the vision. Remember? The church. The first one that came by the bride. The wedding white, long hair, everybody moving, marching to the queue, very fine. Then God said, I'll show you the Church of America. The cave, I said, it was filthy. I showed the church of this nation, Asia, Northern. They were all messed up. The problem said, if what the first one went in was perfect and nice and in the truth, marching orderly, he said, the last one that comes must be the same. Alpha, Omega. And the last one came. It was a white as usual plane. They're marching. That's the last church age we are living in. Marching. When Barabbas saw them, some of them was not marching in tune. And some of them were looking back. Barabbas shouted, stay in line! Don't look back! Is the church in this end time who follow the word? Are they marching right? Or they keep on looking back? And they're not marching in tune with the word? Do you see? The 500 with that's not why, if it starts with the apostle, it has to return with the apostle ministry. Because Paul himself said, he gives some apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher for the perpetuating of sin, for the work of ministry, and so on, until we come in unity of faith. Until we come to the stature of the perfect man. Secondly, what brother and I showed just now. Why? With the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant always move ahead of the people. Nobody stays in front of the ark. But in the crossing of that, now they already crossed over River Jordan, right? Remember, the ark was in front when they crossed over the River Jordan. There is a space of how many cubits the people have to be behind. So the ark went forward. Nobody walks in front of the ark. They went over the land. We have crossed over here. Why in the land? Right? But now we have to congregate. Do exploit. That's why in the first city to fall was Jericho. That was the major city that stood in the way. Now here we have the seven men, seven priests that stand in front of the ark. What does it symbolize? The ark is silent now. We come to the time when this Bible will no longer be needed by us. You know why? What does it mean? I don't mean what the people are doing now, huh?
No.
When the church comes to a state of perfection,
yes.
Remember I talked about that kupa. Right? Remember the kupa, that caterpillar. How they eat the green because it was born on the green. The leaf, the plant that it was born on. If I'm born of the Word of God, eat the Word of God. If the caterpillar is born on lemon tree, it will eat lemon leaves only. You try to feed it orange leaf, it won't. Until you become a cocoon, go into the kupa. I already told you this. Everything that Abraham has seen in the vision, many times he never explained it. Remember that 10 vision?
Yes.
The little room. He saw people went in, crippled, come out.
Old.
Go in with the wheelchair, came out, push the wheelchair. The angel said, I'll meet you in there. He went in. What did he say when he came out? I can't tell you. He said that. It's a secret. What's in the little room? Remember, they're outside, there are people all worshipping, they are queuing up to go in the little room too. There are a lot of people in this world that believe in the message, but they are not in the little room. Many are not getting insight. And that's what the little caterpillar is. Became a cocoon in the little room. Because what's going on is a revival. A change that is taking place. That's why when we come to the stage, when we are into this word, eat it. One day, this book will no longer be used. We are shut in. Then the thunders come. Rapturing faith. Problem said, wait till you get those voices.
Yes.
It gives you rapturing faith. The voices have not sound yet. Voices are not sound. It's not sealed. It's not this. It's not virtue. It has to give rapturing faith. But people are not understanding the prophet. And that's why we have a problem. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why I say this morning, that man who sent me, tried to send the money, couldn't. He came from, I don't know what denomination. He was learning. He said, "Brother, I came across a website. And I heard a little bit about William Graham. But your article there gave me so much life. It made me to understand the scripture, the thing I was looking for. Things that I know to be true. But now I have someone that explained it to make me understand." But I said, "My wife, she still wants to go to denomination. And she wants to go to Christmas." I said, "I don't believe in Christmas. I don't believe in December." You know, and he gave me the YouTube about Jonathan Kahn. Now remember when you all talk about going to YouTube and all this stuff, then be careful. There's a lot of things that are out there. And people are using that to build their kingdom. I don't have YouTube channel. Let's go on my website. Whoever wanted, the Lord would direct. And this brother said, "Brother Dan, listen to what he said." And Jonathan Kahn said, "Jesus is born in spring, in April." And the second exact, almost exactly that William Branham. So I knew where this was coming from. And Jonathan Kahn, I believe, was Jew. He was a Jew, I believe. Okay? But the thing is this, I realized that there are many books written even before Brother Bam was upon the scene. Books written in America that they said the believer Jesus was born in April, in springtime. Because sheep were born, or lamb were born in spring. Never in autumn, never in summer, never in in winter. That American talks. And that's why I said, when Brother Bam read, I was in his office. Yes, Larkin's book has other books. And I know Brother Bam reads books. And sometimes even he took Brother Larkin's the years of the church ages. Right. And people are asking, how could it be? You know, they are fighting over this because Columbus was outside the date of the year. That's why in my chart, I realized when Brother Bam picked those dates, those are Larkin's dates. He pick it, no problem. To me, no problem. And people are arguing with me. The date is exactly what God gave to him. Don't tell me that. Because I don't believe it. I believe Brother Bam read books and try to take the date. And there are many people that take seven church ages. The date was swing by a few years. You understand what I'm saying? If you look at my chart, I put a date below, which is very common date that most historians realize. The overlapping of years. Okay, just like when the gospel came from a Jew to the Gentile, it's overlapped, right? It fade away slowly. The same thing, the gospel going back to Israel, it will fade away from Gentile slowly to Israel. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, there are a few that wrote me, says, Abraham said that Joe was born in April. And yet he said that Jesus Christ preached for 3.5 years. How many of you believe that Jesus Christ preached for 3.5 years? Come on, yes or no? You believe Jesus preached for 3.5 years? Yes. If Jesus preached for 3.5 years, I always said this to the people who argue with me. Simple arithmetic. If he was born in April, he died in April. How can it be another 5 years? Either he died 3 years, preached for 3 years, or 4 years. Am I not right? Common sense. So how do we prove it, brother? Again, it's simple. So I give it to you. Malachi 3:1. Go back and study. Because you are going to deal with that. Malachi 3:1, the book of the Gospel of John. Look at the Gospel of John and find out how many Passover there are that Jesus passed through. Look at the Feast of Jehovah and you'll find when Jesus was born. Never fail, because the Feast of Jehovah was God's feast. His joy in the feast with his people. Look at the feast, Christ fulfilled all of those feasts. There are four yet to be fulfilled. Yet in your lifetime, Jesus Christ partook of the Passover lamb, right? Correct. He will have to, because he's fulfilling. So the same thing. From that feast, you will know when Christ was born. Never fail. And they will say, lamb never born in winter, October. That is not true. That's American idea. If America is in springtime, right? What about Australia? Australia is winter. That's reverse, right? Okay. is the weather or the climate in Israel the same as America? No. Are all the sheep the same species? No. I know better. Because I'm a student of the world. Has been. From the day when I was in the examination of God. So that's why a lot of people have all this regurgitated. Don't just stick to it. Don't accept what I tell you or teach you here. When Abraham said, whatever I say, if it's not in scripture, don't believe it. Take it to the word. Right?
True.
So the same thing, you take everyone to the word. The same thing, Paul, right, told the people. These are wise people, they're bearing. They search it out, right? If those things be soon. People say, one time one preacher told me, you dare to take Brother Bram and search it with the scripture? So what's wrong with that? That's what he said to do. No! You believe exactly what the prophet said. I said, no. I'm not going to follow Brother Bram just blindly. I'm following the word, not the man. That's one thing we did to know. Is that not right? Correct. There's a brother, Nigel Springer earlier said, Moses, to me, mistake too. Right, everyone might make mistake. Did Brother Bram never make mistake? Then he must be God. I have those who told me, Brother Bram never make mistake. I said, Brother Bram himself said, I make mistakes. And how can you say he don't make mistake? That's why those people I count. Idol worshippers, worshiping Brother Bram. And if you want the link to that, what he was saying about the wedding, all you have to do is tap on the YouTube, William Bram wedded Congress couple. You know, you get a dead man to wed, to marry a couple. Well, what is that? Moses is dead, Joshua. And dead men do not come back and minister. The Bible said about the leading ministry, not they. A present ministry.
Amen.
God is always moving.
Amen.
But the people love Brother Branham so much till they couldn't see beyond Brother Branham. And we need to see beyond Brother Branham. Like even Paul. Look at Paul. Paul, he told him, he got so much revelation. And you know what? God kept him humble. Do not remove the pain in his eye. Just imagine that. So he'd be humble. And Peter was a big fisherman who was the first apostle to preach on the day of Pentecost, who was older than him at least by 3 years to 5 years. Yet Peter played the hypocrisy and Paul had to rebuke him in front of the elders. And it's high time that we're going to be serious with the word of God and stay with the truth. Amen?